Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. One of my favorite things that happens around here. Every couple of months, we get to see our good friend Scott Wieman. Scott comes in and we talk about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective. I'll tell you now, if you've got questions in that regard, go ahead and dial 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Scott, in recovery himself, a Catholic who found the 12 steps, who found the seven sacraments and the healing there, wrote a book about that called...
The 12 Steps and the Sacraments.
That's a what a wonderful title that is. But I always say the 12 Steps and the Seven Sacraments, so yeah. I don't even say the title anymore. I just let you say it.
That's okay. Yeah.
I always, but also the founder and of a growing, really dynamically growing ministry to help Catholics in recovery, and so he called it Catholics in Recovery.
Catholic in Recovery.
Catholic in
Recovery. People call it Catholics in Recovery.
I'm not saying the title of your stuff
it
anymore,
maintains
Scott.
The essence of what it does and what it is. So.
Yeah, Catholic in Recovery.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we have a growing community of men and women seeking recovery from a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. Alcoholism, drug addiction, compulsive overeating and restricted eating, gambling addiction, pornography and lust addiction, you name it. Technology, codependency, things that we become attached to. That are not of God.
I feel like you're implying that Jesus wants to heal us of all these things.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
He does.
That's awful good news.
And at a certain point, we get to a place of such great desperation that we're willing to even allow him to.
Yes, isn't that the truth? 888-318-7884. So often we think of Jesus as the accuser almost, as the get your act together. And that is not how he relates to us when it comes to addictions.
No, meets us exactly where we are, as do people in recovery communities. You know, I was introduced to the faith. I grew up nominally Catholic, I say, Christmas and Easter, a couple extra credit weekends a year.
Oh, you got extra credit for those.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Good for you.
And went through the sacraments as a, you know, and as a kid, but as an adolescent kind of fell off the faith. And it wasn't until I got desperate to find healing from addiction and alcoholism, drug addiction in particular at first, and then applied those principles to all other areas of my life that I found the church. And it was at first just in an effort to win back an ex-girlfriend who was very Catholic, thought if I looked like a good Catholic boy, it might help my cause. But Jesus and people in the church in 12-step recovery programs met me and allowed me to just flourish and grow. And a lot of progress is still yet to be made, but a lot of progress has been made.
Well, sure. I mean, we're on a journey back to the house of the Father. We're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean we can't celebrate how God has helped us.
Yep.
Thus far. You sound like Father Stu. Did you ever see the movie Father Stu?
I did get to see it.
Because he was chasing a woman, and that brought him into the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not saying that you were chasing a woman. I didn't mean to say
you know,
that way.
No, actually, I don't think people say you got to have the right intentions for doing something. I think that, action, regardless of the intentions, I mean.
Yeah. Right. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. A lot of times, people who are in recovery from addiction or, as you say, unhealthy attachments or whatnot, they want to turn around and help somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that seems like that's what you're doing at the parish level. So tell us a little bit about that at the parish level.
Yeah. So beyond the parish level, but really, so we have Catholic in Recovery groups and fellowships. The first one started here in San Diego in January 2017. Now we have over 50 groups
praise God for that.
20 plus states around the country.
Yeah, yeah.
A group in Mexico, a group starting in Toronto, Canada in September, and groups that are really just a growing community. We have over 25 virtual meetings a week. And really just the intention of that being bringing people together who have found recovery with those who are seeking recovery, and the process of one alcoholic or addict helping another is how recovery is maintained and grows and flourishes. It began, Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step groups really started with Alcoholics Anonymous in the 1930s and 40s. There was great Catholic influence in that process as it was developed. And as our culture has become more secularized, groups such as, 12-step groups have become more secular in some ways, but still is a very spiritual program. And, we find that many people are seeking faith after getting sober or are seeking the church in order to help them get sober. For a long time, we have long delegated that healing to other 12-step groups, which have saved my life, continue to save my life. And I found that the church could be walking with and accompanying individuals who are seeking the church's help We should be leaning into the sacraments for healing. Yep. And many people sometimes find in secular recovery groups a bit of anti-Catholic sentiment, which makes it somewhat hard to kind of lean into our faith in a setting like that. So, yes, our Catholic in recovery groups on a parish level, or some are not in parishes, but bring people together with who have found recovery, with those who are seeking recovery, and in a group, in our Catholic in recovery groups, formatted very similar to a 12-step group would be, whereas we read a little of a preamble, we pray together the full version of the Serenity Prayer, which is very Christian in nature, the Lord's Prayer. We conclude the meeting with the St. Francis Prayer. We read a reflection, which kind of opens up our open sharing and discussion that is rooted in upcoming Sunday's Mass readings, recovery principles, and liturgical themes. Keep us, in the sacraments and in the liturgical calendar in a lot of ways. And then from there, give people an opportunity to share experience, strength, and hope. We don't claim to be a substitute for other secular 12-step groups, but rather supplemental to. In a lot of ways, we find that Catholic in recovery serves as a bridge from recovery to those seeking further relationship with our higher power in the Catholic Church, and also many in the pews who are in need of healing for a variety of addictions.
Right.
Can find and lean into their faith through Catholic in recovery and get started in their recovery that way.
888-318-7884 is the number if you have a question about being Catholic in recovery. You are very welcome to call 888-318-7884. Now, I said at the parish level, and you kind of corrected me a little bit, so a group doesn't have to be associated with the parish.
Not necessarily, no. We've got groups that are, some meet in, a lot of groups find a home at a parish.
Yeah.
And the parish partnerships are wonderful for to be able to get the word out. And, really, that's the hope, is that healing is happening on a parish level. A lot of times in the church, if you kind of look at the landscape of a parish life, we tend to kind of push healing stuff out to the peripheries of the church, if you will.
Yeah.
And so, the parish serves as this place where we show up to and we got to look good and, come across as good and we've got it all together. And,
right.
In my perspective, I found a lot of healing both, in churches, non-Catholic churches, sitting in 12-step meetings with people who are just sharing very honestly and humbly, giving me strength to do the same and go out and shape my life in a very healthy and positive way. In the Catholic Church, there's a lot of opportunity for that healing to take place. But, a lot of it is some cultural shifts and changes and, just giving people permission to seek the church, seek the sacraments, seek our fellow brothers and sisters for healing. I understand it's not easy, though.
No, but there's definitely a kind of... This is something we don't talk about enough, probably, because we talk about mostly doctrinal things here. Mm-hmm. But you can see in the church that... There are now grief ministries in thousands of churches where there was no grief ministry before. There's healing masses or healing services. There's, Catholic in recovery and all kinds of other. I do feel like we're rediscovering the charism of healing, which is one of the three primary charisms of the church, is to heal.
Yeah.
And I think we have neglected it and we're rediscovering it.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus did a lot of healing. He did a lot of of course, healing. Just being among people, breaking bread and, and there's a lot of, overlap in similar theology between that of the, 12-step wisdom that we find in recovery programs. Of course, that's broadened to speak of God in more general terms.
Yeah.
We can kind of distill that down to how we understand the sacraments and understand our higher power as Jesus Christ. And there's a lot that can be extrapolated from that, a lot of awesome healing that can happen from that. From my perspective, I get to, I hear a lot of stories. People come to me with a lot of pain and a lot of challenges, but I also get to see people's lives come back together. Like I get to
Praise
see families
God for that.
Renewed.
Yeah.
I get to see nearly hopeless situations, be renewed and new life being born and through all that.
Scott Wieman is our guest. Catholic in Recovery is the organization that he founded. He wrote the book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. You are welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884. There's still a few lines open if you'd like to get in there, 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at magnificat.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
It is a tremendous privilege to be able to speak to so many of you and to know that so many of you are listening to The Answers, which we want to give you so that you can know the truth of Jesus and come to love him more.
EWTN Open Line Wednesday with Father Mitch Pacwa, tonight, 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. God is a healer. Jesus comes among his people as a healer. And among the things we are most in need of healing these days is addictions and obsessions and the inability to move on, let go of certain things that are getting in our way. Everything, as Scott Wieman, our guest, was mentioning, everything from alcoholism and drug abuse to the use of pornography and gambling and all kinds of stuff. And the Lord does not stand as our accuser in these things, but as our help and our healer and ready to heal us. That's why Scott started the ministry, Catholic in Recovery, which you can find at catholicinrecovery.com. Our number, if you'd like to talk with Scott, 888-318-7884. There are a bunch of people who'd like to talk with you. You ready to take some phone calls?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Casey in Arlington, Texas, listening on the app. Thanks for downloading the Catholic Answers app onto your phone. Casey, go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Thank you for taking my call. So, my question was: I'm currently in a kind of a long distance relationship, and she has made the decision that she wants to stop using marijuana and cigarettes and all this other stuff. And before she made that decision, she signed a lease with some roommates who are heavily still using that stuff. So my question was: what can I do? Or what would be the best way for me to support her in that journey, with it being long distance and given her current situation as far as her living status goes?
Great question from a very concerned and loving boyfriend, it sounds like. And this is a great question. That's probably, I imagine that many listeners have a similar question as to, I have a loved one, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a spouse, a sibling, a child, a parent who is struggling with an addiction, and what can I do to help? How can I help? It's wonderful that she's expressed a desire to you, that she wants to change, to not, you know, to abstain from that, and wonderful that you're willing to help and to support her through that. Of course, you know, there are some things that can be done to, you know, that she can do, of course, but she's not on the line right now, and maybe she's listening, but, you know, I would say that to be supportive, either as a friend or a family member or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, really just, you know, recognize the limits of which you can help, and that you probably can't be the full extent of the help, but can be certainly supportive. It was in my greatest time of need that there were a few friends who were there to pick up the phone when I called and said, I need help. And we're also willing to be there and be a means to reach out to, or someone to reach out to. And actually, I asked them on a regular basis. They didn't suggest it, but I, for whatever reason, had the willingness and some wherewithal to say, hey, I need to be accountable. I haven't been accountable in a long, long time. Can I call you today? You know, or can I call you once a day just to let you know that I haven't drank that day, haven't used drugs that day, nor did I the night before? Or, you know, if I did, then to share about it. And, you know, I also mentioned, I understand that you're going to hear from me a lot. If you just want to let it go to voicemail, that's okay. But I just need to be accountable to someone. So that was helpful in being supportive. And then, and especially before I found a group in a community that could really, really be helpful. So they kind of helped just me be accountable to some of the things and the commitments that I was going to do. Now, making a commitment of not smoking marijuana, not drinking, not eating compulsively, whatever the habit, the addiction, the compulsion is, that in itself is a good goal. It's a good hope, but it's not really, you know, what are the tangible steps that can be done? So maybe you can even help hold one accountable to those things. So, you know, I understand that as your boyfriend, I can't, you know, I can't be the full extent. I don't have the experience to help you overcome this challenge. You can sympathize and share empathy and connect with her on challenges that you have had to make it, you know, really a real human connection that is, you know, understands just how challenging this is. It's not as easy as I'm not going to do it and I don't touch it, but there are some real pulls there. Of course, educating yourself about the nature of addiction can be very important as well as a concerned family member or friend of one who's struggling with an addiction. And, you know, here it may not be even as something that you would identify as an addiction. You can take that term or leave it. You can describe it as a compulsive behavior or something that's a habitual behavior. It doesn't matter to me how you identify it. But if it's a behavior that is getting in the way, is kind of harming you, is something that you want to change, but on your own you can't stop, then it certainly is something that would be worth like digging into, seeking some help around. So, you know, I would, in some suggestions, educate yourself around addiction. What is it? What are the biological, cognitive, spiritual, and emotional manifestations of different types of addictions? And then also, how can you help be accountable to some of those helpful actions? So, you know, a goal of, you know, I want to attend a meeting or I want to just refrain from using one day at a time. It's something that can be done in very incremental steps, and you can be there along the way to help out.
What do you think, Casey?
That's a great answer. I'll definitely be using that because I myself am recovering from porn usage, and she helps me with that too. And so we're trying to
God bless
be there
you.
For each other. So that's very good advice. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Casey.
Yeah, beautiful. See, there it is.
Yep, right. We got to help each other. Can't leave you. We're abandon one another to these things.
Yeah, and there's also as a concerned family member or friend, there's sometimes we want to be the source of help. But oftentimes we can't be. You know, of course, Jesus is the ultimate source of healing.
Right.
We want to be instruments of that healing.
Yeah.
And
so you got to be realistic about what your role is in that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Actually, I had a friend yesterday who texted me, said, hey, can I talk? I've got a close friend from college who's been struggling with alcoholism. He kind of had acted out in a way that wasn't really appropriate among some friends in the last couple of days. And how can I support him? And, you know, I had a kind of pretty similar conversation as we just had with Casey.
Yeah, and you've done that for me, and I was very grateful when you did that. I know you won't mention it, but you were very helpful to me when I needed help with a situation like that.
Well, there's some friends who helped save my life when they answered the call that day, so I'll do whatever I can to answer the call. And people in recovery will do the same. And so, you know, you can be an instrument to help move things forward, but getting connected with the recovery fellowship, if the problem is really, really challenging, you can't do it alone. There are many people out there to help.
Casey, again, thank you for that wonderful call. We'll go about all the way up from Texas to North Dakota now, listening on Real Presence Radio, Joseph in North Dakota. We're glad you're here, Joseph. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Scott Wieman.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. For most of my adult life, I overdrank. And a few years ago, I went on a diocesan-sponsored retreat for men, and towards the end of the retreat, they did a thing called deliverance, and right after that, it was like, excuse me, like a switch flipped, and since that time, no desire, no even thought of drinking. I know 12-step programs work for some people. How can you shed any light, explain how this work came about for me?
Yeah, praise God. What a gift, Joseph. Thanks for sharing and thanks for calling. I don't think that the 12 steps hold a monopoly on getting people sober from alcohol or finding freedom from any kind of addiction or compulsion. I would say that God holds that monopoly, and it sounds like what you experienced was a true gift and a healing touch from God. And so I would not want to limit the power of God and what he can do without human aid. I would say what a gift. The end goal of the 12 steps is to lead one to a spiritual awakening, a psychic change. And so if God can make that happen in any ways. Now, there are some things I would suggest. There are repeat here of people who are miraculously touched and healed in their lives, you know, there is some human element. I think that there is some of our own participation in that. We have to participate. God moves mountains, but he asks us to pick up the shovel. And that might look different in all sorts of ways. In many people's cases, what picking up the shovel means is one day at a time, you know, attending meetings or working the 12 steps, or whatever is the next indicated thing through the 12-step process. But in others, you know, picking up the shovel while God's moving mountains means being open and available to God's will and to receive that. And boy, God can cut through whatever, you know, our denial and such in ways that, you know, certainly humans can. I can't speak of. But at the same time, we also want to make sure that, you know, there are two aspects of it. It's also much more than just putting down the drink or setting aside the drug or no longer looking at pornography or no longer eating compulsively, whatever it might be. But we want to get to really what is at the heart, what is at the root of that? What was the malady, the spiritual malady that was driving that? I would say that each of those things are but symptoms of a greater spiritual malady. And so the 12 steps really does an effective job of getting into the root of that. Oftentimes we find at the root of our addiction is a great deal of fear, resentment, and then other things, qualities such as dishonesty and characteristics that might need to be shifted a little bit so that we can live a full and healthy and joyful life.
Okay, Joseph?
Thank you. Praise Him. It has been a tremendous gift.
Praise God. Yeah. Praise God.
And that, Joseph, I would just say, share that with others. You know, don't let that spiritual awakening just rest within you, but share it with others, and you'll find that, you know, your life, your faith, and your sobriety will grow in magnitudes as well.
It's really something when you read the first few chapters of the Gospel of Matthew of the number of people that Jesus heals. You know, people always say, well, he did this many miracles. Well, yeah, there's that many miracles that are recorded, but there's the part in Matthew's Gospel where they come from Syria and the Decapolis, and it says he healed everyone who came to him. So I do think that's a sign of what God's giving us in that sign of the messianic ministry of Jesus the healer is keep coming to him for healing. You don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Joseph, very, very much. I'm going to go to Pete in Augusta, Georgia, listening on 91.1 FM. Pete, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hey, God bless you both. I don't have a question. I just want to share my joy. You know, I had the great fortune of discovering this apostolate, you know, early last year, and I went to the retreat, the inaugural retreat that was held in Wichita, Kansas, and it fundamentally changed my life. And I know I've shared this with Scott. Hi, Scott. Good to see you again. Hey. I hear you again. I really believe, you know, I heard you all talking. I literally just came out of Mass and a holy hour and was driving home, and I put on Catholic Answers as I'm coming home, and you know, I heard y'all talking, and I was just filled with joy. And I heard y'all talking about how this is a manifestation of, you know, the healing charism of the church, and I could not agree more. But yeah. I just want to share, I really feel like this is also a manifestation of the new evangelization. And I think of me. You know, I came in as an adult convert over 20 years ago, and I lived a very fractured spiritual existence because even though I knew I was in the right place, I was just wrapped up in addiction and pride and self-pity and that absolute narcissistic black hole. And, you know, like Scott was talking about, I tried some, you know, I tried traditional 12-step, and I kept feeling like God is calling me, but I just don't feel like, I was very confused, I guess. What I'm happy to say is it was at that retreat that for the first time in my life, I heard God loves me. Not me anonymously as some kind of vague person in the body of Christ. No, you, Pete, loves you, and loves you. And all your ugliness of sin wants to pull you out of this. That's the first time I heard it. And, you know, I'm an example of the new evangelization. We're always on a road to conversion, and I think that this program, this apostolate, is like a path to holiness. I mean, we're all on that path, so God bless everyone who's listening. You know, Scott, I want to start a group here, but I don't know how, so, you know, maybe we can work that out somehow, but I really feel like people can come back. Oh, that's it. I'm sorry.
Pete, thank you.
Oh, God bless you all.
That was a great blessing for you to call and to share that, especially about the sense of coming to know the love of God. It's the one thing we hope for every single person.
Yeah, what a gift. Thank you for sharing and calling, Pete. And if you're still on the line, Pete, I'm curious, you shared about your presence or your participation in last year's Catholic in Recovery retreat. We have a few upcoming. If someone is considering joining or attending a retreat, is there anything that you would share with them?
Well, I thought what was so empowering for me was to hear other people who were struggling with like that, I love God and yet I do all this stuff, or I'm so wrapped up in this addiction or this disordered living. And, you know, I know I personally struggled how to reconcile all that. And there I was with other people who were struggling with the exact same thing. And then we brought it into the expression of our faith. Like the language of our faith helped me to to connect with others. I don't know. I felt like, so like you were saying in those first few chapters of Matthew, and I felt like Jesus came to me and healed me. I think of myself sometimes as like the woman who reaches out and touches Christ's, you know, garment and is healed. Like I identify with her, how I was before. You know, this past July was 1 year of sobriety from alcohol. I've been drinking since my early teenage years. I'm 53 years old.
Congratulations.
You know, that never happened until now. There's something there. There's something powerful and wonderful there that just makes my hair stand up as I'm talking with y'all, you know?
Mm, awesome.
So I think that would help if people came, you know, they would connect with other people who are trying to live out their faith and reconnect with the sacraments. I look at the sacraments totally different now. I think I understand them a little bit more than I ever did.
Oh,
you know?
Pete, it's just victory after victory, isn't it? The music's playing. I got to take a break, Pete, but I just want to say thanks for your call and your testimony. How about when we come back from the break, we'll let people know how they can go on one of these retreats if they'd like to.
Sure.
And then we'll take more calls. Pete, God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Thanks, Pete.
Right back with more Scott Wieman.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
What are you praising God for today?
Join us tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Scott Wieman is our guest. Scott is the founder and still the head of Catholic in Recovery, a growing apostolate, and thank God it's growing. It's only been up and running for 5 years now, 50 different groups in the U.S., groups all popping up around the world. I mean, we got listeners in Philippines and Singapore and Australia and Shanghai, China. And if they were to send you an email at CatholicInRecovery.com, you'd explain to them how to start a group?
Absolutely. Start a group, participate in a group. We have people from six different continents who have participated in virtual Catholic
Wait,
in Recovery
meetings. Wait, there's
meetings.
Six continents? How
oh, there's another. We've got, there's oh, extra. Oh. To my knowledge, no one has tuned in from Antarctica.
I think I lost track of the continents. Oh, all right. Well, you'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. But CatholicInRecovery.com, people can find virtual meetings. We have a variety of virtual meetings that are taking place every day of the week, different types of meetings, general recovery meetings for people with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments.
Right.
We have meetings specific to different addiction types, pornography and lust addiction, eating disorder recovery meeting. We have a group for family members impacted by a loved one's addiction, mm-hmm. family and friends meetings similar to an Al-Anon type of meeting. Also, meetings for adult children of dysfunctional families and alcoholics. And we have a meeting on Tuesday nights for spouses, particularly women, spouses who are affected by a loved one's pornography addiction. So,
gotcha.
Again, let me make this very clear. Addiction does not just happen in a vacuum, but rather it affects an entire family system.
Right.
And so the whole family is impacted, thus the whole family can benefit from healing and from recovery. A lot of times family members, you know, for reasons that can be easily rationalized, are upset and resentful and think, why do I need to get
yep.
so or do find recovery myself? This is on them. Well, true, but your own recovery is not for them. It's for you. It's so that you don't have to live with a variety, you know, compulsive behaviors that have maybe been adapted in order to kind of appease the addiction in some ways and or, a variety of things. It's not about learning how to get your loved one sober, but it's a lot about how can you live a happy and joyous life regardless of other people's behavior changing.
CatholicInRecovery.com, just check it out. But we said before we went back to the calls, and I will go back to the calls because there's a lot of folks that want to talk with you. You were going to say something about the retreats, maybe how people can find out about them. And
yes, we have a variety of Catholic in Recovery retreats and events. We're starting to do more events and retreats around the country. I've had the opportunity to travel a bit. We have a few weekend retreats upcoming. We have one that's going to be just outside of Canton or Akron, Ohio. So if people who are in Ohio area or in the Midwest, that retreat's actually happening next weekend, August 19th through 21st, and tomorrow is the last day to register. So would strongly recommend checking out CatholicInRecovery.com. You can register on the events page there. We also have in September, that's the weekend of the 23rd through 25th of September, a retreat in Newton, New Jersey, which, you know, anyone who's out in the East Coast or in the Northeast, a great spot, just about an hour away from New York City or Newark Airport. But we have several groups that are active around that area and are coming together for a retreat, and another that will be happening in Wichita, Kansas, the 4th through 6th of November. A lot on the calendar for next year as well, and we're always looking for places to host retreats, want to provide opportunities and outlets and really experiences for people to have a spiritual awakening, connecting with others, as Pete mentioned on the call before. An opportunity to you dedicate yourself to a weekend in some ways, and it can be life-changing.
Please check it out. We'll go to the calls now. Sue in Missouri, listening on the Covenant Network. We're so glad you're here. Sue, go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So my husband is a recovering sexual addict, I was listening to the radio, Catholic Answers, and this is the first time I've ever heard of anything that has to do with a Catholic 12-step program. We've investigated this in our area and found nothing. So is there a book that you use or that you've written for this your recovery program, number one? And then number two, that type of information for family and friends of sexual addiction addicted people. And I noticed that you have a lot of things that are going to go on virtually, and I'm going to check out the website too.
Yes, thank you, Sue, for calling and sharing. And recovery, what a gift. Sexual recovery, sexual addiction is unfortunately way too common. And we can sit here and deny the fact that it is common, and we can do that all day, or we can start to provide solutions. And I'm grateful to hear that your husband has found that and has taken that on, and as a family that you're doing it as well. That's, as mentioned, addiction does not happen in a vacuum, particularly when it is sexual addiction, pornography and lust addiction. That can have such implications, and the betrayal trauma that exists within spouses and partners is can be devastating. But not greater than what Jesus can provide. And so many, I've gotten to see families in real time heal and find new life, find reconciliation. Also, that doesn't mean, acceptance that something exists does not mean approval of, but it rather means that we're going to be moving towards something and trying to make progress in that venture. So, Sue, you asked a few questions. I'll try to get to a few of them. Is there a book? Yes, I wrote a book a few years ago called The 12 Steps in the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery, which shares my story and the stories of others who have really embraced or engaged with 12-step recovery in the sacramental life of the Church to find healing from a variety of addictions. In a few months, actually, October 14th, it'll be published. It can be pre-ordered now, but we're going to be publishing the Catholic in Recovery Workbook with Ave Maria Press, and that will be really a 20-section sacramental guide through the 12 steps, which will incorporate Catholic teaching, wisdom from Catholic saints, catechism, scripture, and a variety of exercises to work through the steps, all 12 steps. We're going to have a digital platform that will accompany that to really help you walk through, access worksheets, video modules, testimonies of others with a variety of different addiction types, and giving an opportunity just to get started on or to further one's already, you know, thriving recovery.
What do you think, Sue?
Wonderful. I think it sounds awesome. I can't wait to get off the phone so I can go over to the email or to the
website,
the computer and start. Yep.
Yes, and as mentioned, Sue, too, as well, Sue, you're not alone in having a spouse that struggles with pornography or sexual addiction. There are many. Which does not mean it's okay. Normalize your need for healing, and you can find it. We have a meeting available, a virtual meeting on Tuesday nights for spouses impacted by a loved one's pornography and sex addiction. I think you'll find a lot of like-minded people there.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you so much. God bless you and your work.
And that's for you, Scott.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sure she was blessing me in my work, too,
of
interviewing you. I think we're going to St. Louis now. George in St. Louis, also listening on the Covenant Network. We're glad you're here, George. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be on with you. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and as you know, the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. So, you know, in meetings, I'm exposed to, you know, a whole vast variety of spiritual approaches, but I'm also a very devout Catholic. And I wanted to ask Scott if he could give his take on, maybe a good way of following the 11th step from a Catholic perspective.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, George, for calling and sharing, and praise God for your recovery and that you found a community of people who have helped you and that you can help along the way. George is asking about the 11th step. The 11th step is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So there are a few different components to that. I think some might be alarmed, and sometimes we take issue to describing God as we understand him. Now, I think as Christians or as Catholics, we understand God is revealed through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, accessible through the sacraments and available to us right now. The second half of that, though, praying for only praying for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out, That is a tricky part of that. Not tricky, but I think is actually the invitation in the 11th step. So praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. First, I think that we can maintain conscious contact with God through a variety of different ways. The Eucharist, as Catholics, is the pinnacle of those ways that we can maintain conscious contact with God, physical, spiritual presence and contact with God. But similarly, through prayer and meditation, we can do the same. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Does that mean that I don't get to tell God what I want?
Oh.
I wonder. I think so. So the 11th step really is this, you know, the challenge here is not to make prayer our attempt to bend God's will towards ours, but in coming to God and asking him to bend our will toward his. It's a really hard thing to do. Going in without any expectations in prayer or our own desires, that can be a really, really hard thing to do because we have needs and wants and we want to apply those things and then we want to put them in the context of spiritual terms and maybe we can convince God that our way is the best way. So being open to his knowledge of his will and asking for the power to carry that out and just leaving it at that, I mean, there's a lot there, but I think that's a good way to approach prayer.
George, I'm going to leave it there because I have to take a quick break. We'll do that and we'll be right back. Lots of folks on the line, and that generally happens when Scott is here because really, if we're honest about it, addiction and recovery and obsessions and compulsions, this affects every family, in America, every family in the world. And so that's why we get so many calls. We'll be right back with more of those for Scott Wieman right after this.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Faith is a precious gift from God. As the largest religious media network in the world, EWTN has an important role in educating others about our Catholic faith and spreading the good news of salvation. We invite you to explore our numerous pages of historical faith documents, prayers, teachings, and other current issues in Catholicism today. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be here with our very good friend, Scott Wieman. And we're just it's just such a wonderful blessing to us that he's here in San Diego, so we can just invite him in to the studio. And sometimes I almost feel like we're going to need more than an hour to solve the addiction and recovery problem. Mm-hmm. We might need a whole ministry devoted to this, mm-hmm. and that's why Scott started one. It's called Catholic in Recovery. You can find it at catholicinrecovery.com. You can find Scott's book that's been out for a few years now, and that would be The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. But a new book coming out from the ministry, just mention it again, it's the workbook.
The Catholic in Recovery workbook.
Yeah, coming out
October 14th.
October 14th, wonderful. And that's from Ave Maria Press?
That's right.
And you can pre-order that now at Ave Maria, and they do so many good things, so much good stuff coming from Ave Maria Press. Let's go to Leslie in Greenville, South Carolina, watching on YouTube. We're very glad to have you, Leslie. You got to wait for me to push a button here, but now I pushed it. Hi, Leslie, go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, we're always happy when you're here, Leslie. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, so I'm a recovering porn addict. I was addicted to porn 20-plus years.
Leslie, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I need you to it's breaking up a little bit. Is there any way you could get just a little closer to the phone or something? Maybe talk right into that microphone there.
Okay, can you hear me?
Very good. Yeah, go for it, Leslie.
Okay, yeah, I was addicted to pornography for 20 years. I actually started when I was 10, and it's still a struggle. Like, I'm sober and everything. I mean, I haven't been doing it, but I just want some advice on how to keep away from it, because it's still a struggle to not even want to, you know, to fight the temptations and stuff.
That's a great question. What do we do to fight the temptations? And I would say that if you're resting on your own power to do that, that it can last for a while. You can probably fend off temptations for a while, but at a certain point, the cunning, baffling, and powerful nature of addiction might be too much with your own power. Now, there's plenty of other power available, I would say. So, you know, seeking God and asking Him to help with that process, connecting with others as well. I would say typically it's best, you know, it's easiest to refrain if we're running to something rather than just running away from something. If we're simply just running away from something, in this case, running away from pornography use and acting out lustfully, But without any kind of direction of where we're going to, then we're simply really just going to probably end up right back where we started. But if we have an aim, and that aim in the Christian life, in the Catholic life, is Jesus Christ, and we have something that we can move towards, and also at the same time have people who can help move us toward that, that's best. I know that it's oftentimes, especially when conversations around pornography and sexual addiction and things of that nature can be very challenging to initiate amongst friends or peers, especially if it hasn't been part of conversations before. I remember, in fact, as I was approaching my own challenges with pornography and masturbation, I couldn't even say those words. Saying them, I felt really dirty, and maybe even some people hearing this, freak out a little bit as well. It's that, now I've come to a point where I kind of recite these words all the time that I've become very desensitized to them, which maybe even gone in the other direction. But, don't be afraid to initiate conversations. I'm certain that there are others who have a similar struggle, who perhaps even by reaching out and helping another person, you can actually find your own freedom growing and maintaining. And, as well, don't be afraid. Plenty of opportunities exist to find fellowship specifically around the area of pornography and lust addiction. Catholic and recovery groups exist, connecting on a regular basis there, or just, having conversations with others. There are plenty of other secular groups available for those seeking recovery from particularly sexual addiction. I would seek some help around that.
Okay, Leslie.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you very much for the call and for the question. I realize I didn't read the ad, and normally at this point I would ignore it, but I can't because the sale ends in an hour and 15 minutes, so I got to read this ad real quick. It is the time for the ultimate BOGO here at Catholic Answers. We have more than 150 resources that you can choose from, books, CDs, DVDs, even some of our School of Apologetics DVD courses. You shop around, you find two ad items, and you place them on your cart. And then you'll get the lower priced one free. So, and that's up for the next hour and 15 minutes. So head on over to shop.catholic.com and get your BOGO. That's buy one, get one right now. Let's see. We're going to Texas now. Patricia in Texas watching on YouTube. Patricia, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for our friend Scott Wieman.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm recently divorced, and I found out that my ex is drinking pretty heavily. And so my concern is for my kids as well as for him, but do you have any recommendation as to how to maybe approach that? The relationship is not the greatest. I was wondering if you've seen that.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Patricia. How old are your kids?
Over 20, and one's over 20, and one's a teenager.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Yeah, that's, I think, concern for kids is I've got three young little kids myself, and none of them have had the autonomy to make really bad decisions for themselves for the most part, but I see it all the time, and I know how challenging it can be to experience the powerlessness over another one, someone that we love so much as our children, and see them, suffer, see them be challenged, see them be attached to something that's not healthy. And it sounds like maybe this is just a concern. I'm not sure if are they acting inappropriately, or is there a reason to be concerned about their own behavior?
No, they're not. But I can tell that this has impacted them, and I'm just concerned that their friendships, because there is a lot of drinking involved by the adults, so that's where I'm concerned that it's looking like it's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I'm as a someone who comes from a family where a lot of drinking is present, and from a culture where there's a lot of just regular drinking, I totally can sympathize. And the truth is that you probably can't change your ex-husband's behavior at this point. I don't think there's anything that can be done. And in some ways, yeah, so you're concerned about perhaps the kid's exposure to someone who's acting unhealthily, particularly an adult who should be setting a model, for example, not a good example, not a bad example. And so the best thing, really that you can do to influence your children and those that you love is just by maintaining some healthy routines. One of the biggest challenges, especially within a family where there is addiction, particularly, you know, within a household or within a family that might even be separated, that there is just a lack of routine. Addiction creates a really unpredictable nature within a household. And so as a parent, something that can be done, we certainly can't change another person's behavior. We can't stop another person from acting alcoholically. But we can create positive and healthy routines that our, you know, our children and our loved ones can find some predictableness. So there is, you know, and even, you know, as an adolescent, a teenager, or even into our 20s, you know, we're influenced in ways differently than maybe when we're in the household. But still maintaining those routines around holidays, those routines around going to mass together, those routines that happen that can be predictable and healthy and connecting. You know, you're not going to be able to control what happens in our lives 24/7. There's no way that you can do that. And to try to and to consume yourself with what might be going on in their lives 24/7 is really just going to put you in a place where it's going to be hard for you to freely enjoy life, to freely trust God. I mean, I think that this is a really great opportunity for you to put some trust in the Lord while actively taking some steps to enhance their life through some very healthy and positive routines.
Okay, Patricia.
Yes, thank you so much. And I have been working on my trust with God. So
ain't
I
we
truly
all?
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Thanks.
There are some great saints as examples. We're coming upon the feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe this Sunday, August 14th. And he is actually the patron saint of drug addicts, of people with eating disorders, prisoners, and families. That's right. And he died in August 14th, 1941, the day before the Assumption of Mary. He had a great devotion to Mary. He was very willing to accept whatever God's will was for him. In fact, this relates to the 11th step, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. St. Maximilian Kolbe saw in a vision the Blessed Virgin Mary really, you know, offering two crowns, the red crown of martyrdom and the white crown of purity, and came to this place of whatever, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to accept, I will accept either of them. He ended up dying a martyr in a concentration camp, serving and being of service to people until his last breath. A saint like Maximilian Kolbe we can count on. Saint Monica, whose feast day is later in August, the mother of Saint Augustine, is another person who we can count on and we can look to for a model of trust and patience and faith.
Patricia, thank you. I'm going to keep going, see if I can get some more folks on here with Scott Wieman. We're talking about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective with Scott Wieman. We'll go to Eugene, Oregon now, listening or watching on YouTube. Teresa in Eugene, go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hi. So I wanted to know what the requirements are for sponsoring a CIR group for teens. When my daughter was in high school, now she's grown, she was in a Catholic school, and I look back and I see that some of her friends' parents might have had a drinking problem. And I have taken the Archdiocesan Safe Environment training since I do other volunteer work, but this would probably entail much more sensitive topics with the students. So I didn't know, I'm in a CIR group here, but I'm wondering what's necessary to do one like for an Alateen group.
That is a great question, and that's something that can certainly happen. So we have, there's a form on our website, catholicinrecovery.com. You can, a tab labeled meetings. From there, you can find a virtual meeting, you can find an in-person meeting, or you can inquire about starting a meeting. Fill out that form. Anyone who's listening that has a recovery experience themselves and wants to bring a Catholic in Recovery to your community, and we'll be happy to follow up with you on that. This is a great need. How do we help teens from getting involved in behaviors or patterns that their parents are getting involved in? It's not by telling them all the ways, you know, instilling facts and fear. It's not by that. It's by supporting them. And Alateen is a really great resource. A lot of times the challenges that kids have in school is a reflection or is maybe a manifestation of adult behavior at home. And so, be happy to support you in getting a group that is similar to an Alateen type of group, a group for teenagers or people who are just not know what to do or how to really handle or cope with their parents' addictive or alcoholic behavior. And that can create these very unpredictable environments that I was telling you about, where, predictability within a childhood and within, and especially growing adolescence, is so important. And when that's not present, it's really hard to maintain any kind of emotional or spiritual or physical health.
Teresa, I'm going to leave it there because we are coming right up on the end. Scott Wieman has been our guest. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. I do hope that you will visit Catholic in Recovery, learn all about what they do. It's really an extraordinary growth story, just 5 years old. And now with that, well, tell me that, that there was an organization that helped you along the way. Would you just say that?
Yeah, the OSV Challenge, our Sunday Visitor Institute, put together this. They're actually in the middle of this year's 2022 OSV Challenge. Shout out to all those who are competing in the OSV Challenge. I think they have 30 semifinalists going through an 8-week accelerator, taking learning business tools and all the things that happen that you need to grow and build something.
And now here you are growing and building.
Yes.
So thanks to everybody at our Sunday Visitor for that really impressive program. They're partnered with a university?
Yeah, University of St. Thomas in Houston.
University of St. Thomas in Houston. Scott Wieman has been our guest. You can check out his book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. They got a new book coming out, the workbook. Say the name of the workbook again.
The Catholic in Recovery Workbook.
Catholic in Recovery and Workbook. And you can always find him and lots of recovery resources at CatholicInRecovery.com. Scott Wieman, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It really is a pleasure every time you come. All right. Well, that'll do it for us. 2 hours of open forum tomorrow. Call up. Ask whatever you want. And I mean whatever you want, because Jimmy Akin's going to be here. We'll see you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.